With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Trisana Chandler probably doesn't approve of swear words. But we're about to read her book, so who knows? Maybe she'll change her mind. Just in case, you should be warned, we might swear in this episode.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading Chapter 2 of Shattered Glass.
So grab your cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And you just like women better than men.
Why, yes. Yes, I do.
In Chapter 2 of Shatterglass, Triss tries to learn about glass magic, but with all of the mages at Nico's conference, she returns to the house where she's staying to explore the library. She helps the cook prepare food for the party Jamshida, her hostess, is throwing, and then she retreats to her room. Nico comes in and asks her about the glass dragon. Triss tells Nico all about her encounter with the glassblower, and Nico suggests the man is a new mage. Who'd have thunk? He also observes that the dragon has lightning in its veins. Nico informs Triss that the conference is going to compile information about vision magic, though to Triss's disappointment, this does not include scrying on the wind because they just don't have anybody in that field. Meanwhile, Keth returns to his home in Kapik, where he lives among the Yaskadasi. Upon his arrival, he learns the most recent victim was his friend, Irelima, and Irelima's daughter, Glocky, is now orphaned. Keth offers to help in any way he can. Once in his own rooms, Keth reflects on his encounter with the Lightning Girl and resolves to find a teacher the next day. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. And my first comment is that I think Keth is being more mature than Triss.
Well, I mean, he is 20. I would hope so.
Yes. His whole life has been turned upside down. And he's going, okay, my whole life has been turned upside down, but now I have more information, so I'm going to try and do something about it. Good on him. Meanwhile, Nico's like, well, Triss, did you ever consider that this person might be a new mage and that you shouldn't just throw lightning at people because you're scary? And she's like, pish posh, I'm going to throw a hissy fit.
Well, to her point, she said that Nico told her that lightning mages don't make it to adulthood if they're not trained. So if he has lightning magic...
She thinks he has glass magic, though.
But they find the lightning in the dragon. So she knows that he has lightning magic. So to be fair to her, she doesn't think that... Of course he should be trained because he has lightning magic and he would have made it to adulthood.
Although, on the other hand, if they're not talking about the possibility of him having lightning magic till now, then she... maybe should have thought about that when she actually encountered Keth and been a little less hot-headed.
But she didn't know that he had lightning magic then.
Yeah, that's my point. So she shouldn't have been like, oh, well, you're clearly trained, because she should have considered like, oh, well, you know, Lark was an adult before she knew she had magic. Maybe he doesn't know he has magic. I'm just gonna be hard on Triss today.
Do it. She deserves it.
I was gonna say she's a hot-headed 14-year-old who thinks she knows better than everybody else. So of course she's gonna walk up in there like, bitch, I know everything and you have a teacher. You're just lying to me.
We kind of talk about this every book. This is a good moment to say, well, like, how would the other kids have handled Keth? Because, like, I feel like both Daja and Sandri would have stayed fairly calm in the situation.
Oh, yeah, okay. For sure.
Daja would have preferred this situation, I think.
I think both Daja and Sandri would have kept enough of their head to, like, go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe he really doesn't know he's a mage. I'm not sure about Briar. I do think that Briar would have maybe been a little less hot-headed than Triss, because like I said in the last episode, I think that part of the reason Triss is so furious is because she's defending an animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is her big thing.
Briar would just call him an idiot a handful of times.
Yeah, maybe trap him with some vines.
I was going to say, yeah. I could see Briar trapping him with some vines just to be like, okay, and like not hurting him, but being like, okay, I have to do this because you need to drop the tongs and stop trying to kill this. And we need to have a reasonable conversation. I guess I feel like he would treat Keth very similar to how he treats Evie. So he'd trap them and be like, okay, you're going to be stuck here until you calm down and we can actually chit chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You tell me you don't have magic, but I am seeing magic. Let's figure this out.
Yeah.
As I said, like it by giving Triss the adult student, she sets up for conflict in the way that the other three kids have conflict in their books. So, all right, what other opinions do y'all have? Is Nico sexist?
No, I agree with him.
He just has preferences.
Interesting fact, there is linguistic research that shows that men are more competitive in like their language. Men are more likely to compete and try and one-up one another, and women are more likely to like find similarities to one another. There has actually been research done on this. So he's not wrong.
I love Nico in this chapter. He's so great. Like, definitely so the scholar coming out in him. Instead of being like, what the fuck is this thing? He's just very curious. Like, let me examine you. This thing is really neat. It shouldn't exist, but yet it does. I'm looking at it in front of me. It is wonderful. I love it.
Should I explain that dragons aren't real, but there's one right here? And it's also vomiting glass everywhere.
I love the fact that he uses the term dragon vomit. I was like, I don't think I have ever in any other media seen people describe dragon flames as, quote, dragon vomit. And it's great.
Well, that time it was vomit instead of flames, because she has done flames, but this one was vomit because she ate something that did not agree with her belly. So this case, it was vomit.
I thought she breathed out flames specifically.
Well, the flames turned into crystals. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, first one was that one was vomit.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
The flames coming out are like vomit because it's a solid chunk flying out. But I don't know. Regardless, dragons aren't real except for this one apparently is. Cool.
Yep.
And her name is Chime. Which Chime. We have our third word.
Yay.
Yes.
Chapter
this is
two.
This is the part where I get to trash on you guys.
Yeah.
Because book two, the third word was Shriek after Shriek turned out to be the Starling. Every single book, the third word, you're like, oh, wait, this is the name of their new animal companion. And then when I finally did it again,
nope.
Didn't even go there.
We nope. Didn't. We were.
We sure did it.
I wrote in my notes the quote, her newest stray. I'm assuming this is a reference to Chime, which I love that description.
Assuming so, yeah.
She does collect them.
Because she had Shriek, and then Little Bear, and now Chime.
She's a lot like Rosethorn. She claims that like she doesn't like other creatures, but she's good at picking up stray.
Yes.
I think it's very interesting that, and I know Brittany's going to have thoughts on this too, that this scene seems kind of the reverse of Triss with Shriek, because Nico is talking about how Chime is like starts calling Chime she, and then Triss is like, no, it's an it, which in Triss's book she's calling Shriek he, and Nico's like, what's the point in calling it he, because we don't even know if it's a he or a she, and she's like, it doesn't matter,
it's her dead things, and Chime is alive, and yet she calls Chime it. Like, come on, girl. 4 years ago, you're like, no, Nico, it's her dead things. And you insisted on calling Shriek a boy. And now you're like, no, it's an it. And see, it doesn't have any parts. No, Chime is a girl.
Clearly, Nico and Triss have rubbed off on one another.
Clearly.
Triss has gotten his, like, very academic, by the book definition, and Nico has realized you don't always have to be academic and by the book. And she starts referring to Chime as her pretty quickly.
And she doesn't even realize that she's doing it, which is funny.
This is something that's not entirely relevant now, but is probably relevant for people who have read this series, the whole series already, and will potentially be relevant in the future. Triss is talking about ambient mages and academic mages, and she says, not counting those with ambient magic who could also practice academic magic. So we've talked a little bit about how there's ambient magic and there's academic magic and they function differently. And we'll see more of that in the coming books as well. But there are apparently people who can do both. And I know that there are conversations.
Really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to be like really good to be able to do that. And I know that
I wonder if one of the kids discovers that they can do academic magic as well. Maybe Triss. That she's always reading.
Yeah, and Triss kind of can do a lot.
Yeah.
She is incredibly powerful.
And a lot of the other mages that are here at the conference seem to think that she is not as powerful as she claims.
She's lying.
They're going to find out, I'm sure.
She's already like a lightning mage, which is like apparently one of the rarest types of mage. Like, why would she have to lie about the other stuff?
Because she's already special. Why does she need to be even more special?
Extra special.
I think that she's purposely not telling people. I mean, she already got enough weird looks in the early series, like in the first four books, before people knew that she had magic.
That's very
and
true.
Even being a lightning mage, like Nico literally says, I thought we agreed you don't use your lightning because it scares people.
So. I mean, she's already getting weird looks out on the street, just gathering winds around herself. And people are like, what the fuck? She has wind around her? And that's just a small little portion of what she can do, and she's already getting weird looks from that. So
that's true. Right.
Yeah, the other three kids can definitely be scary, but they can also do things that feel very normal, whereas Triss doesn't really do anything normal, so I could see why she wouldn't really want to flaunt it,
bring more scrutiny.
There's some conversation in this chapter with Triss being a merchant, or the child of merchants, which just made me want even more for her to interact with Nia and Jory.
You got a lot in common.
Describing Nico, his face was craggy, the strong nose jutting from it like the prow of a ship. I just like the description. Also, I always forget that Nico has a mustache.
I always envision a beard with it, because usually when people have mustaches, they have beards too. No beard, just a mustache.
No, Triss says of Nico, he's my teacher. I think she's talking to Chime. She says, he's my teacher. And Nico responds, one of the strongest bonds between mages, isn't it? So I wrote, tells you what will happen between Triss and Keth. Oh. I'm pretty sure they're going to be friends.
Eventually. Aw, it's going to be so cute. Because right now, no.
They hate each other so
and it's
much.
Great.
They hate each other's guts so much.
I love how much they hate each other. It's a delight.
Well, I mean, can you blame the man? He was traumatized by her with her throwing lightning at him. I would hate her too.
She's like, let me reactivate your PTSD.
Exactly. No, I would definitely hate her too.
Which is all the more reason that like he's being super mature by being like, you know what? Maybe she's right. Maybe I have magic. That would answer a lot of things. I guess I should go find a teacher. I don't think I would have the ability to do that if some random child started throwing lightning at me. Even if a bunch of weird shit had happened. Like, no, no, you're wrong. And you're terrifying. Nico calls Triss Trissana in this chapter. I noted it because in Briar's book, Crane calls her Trissana. And she really doesn't like it. But it's like, it's different coming from Nico.
They're a lot closer than her and Crane are.
Exactly.
It's kind of like when Lark calls Rosethorn Rosie.
Yeah.
Anybody else were to do that, they would die.
Yes. They would find themselves in the well. And then I just wrote that Keth is really practical, which we kind of already talked about because I said he's being more mature than Triss. But Triss is usually pretty practical. So, like, they have a lot in common. Like, they both have lightning magic. They both have had their lives turned upside down by said magic. And they're both, like, very practical and straightforward. So, yeah, I think that once they get to know each other, they'll actually get along. But it's going to take a while.
Yeah, especially after being traumatized.
Not a good first impression.
No, not at all.
I don't know. I think they're going to be best friends.
Oh, I'm sure they will be when it comes to that point. But I don't know. It would take me a little bit to get over my trauma of having lightning thrown at me the first time I meet a person when lightning is what made my life get turned upside down to begin with. So
right.
Take me a little while to trust that person.
Yeah, and it talks here about, like, how he doesn't speak the language in Therios, or, like, not well, you know, he had to learn it. But then on top of that, the lightning made him speak slowly. Mm-hmm. So just, like, geez, like, having a conversation with somebody must be, like, torturous for him.
I liked how the glass dragon likes attention. When people come up to it and look at it and, like, examine it, it's like, oh, yes, look at me.
That's really fucking cute.
I like the part where Triss was having misconceptions about, like, the ratio of academic to ambient mages. She, you know, grew up in the temple.
Right.
That, you know, is, like, the premier ambient mage learning place. So I could get why she's confused and thinks that it's pretty much half and half, but it's more like 4-1, I think is what it was. So she's learning some stuff today. The entire scene with the maids and Triss, you know, making food and prepping for the mages to come back from the meeting. Tell my husband I will greet him in the next world, as she walks out with food.
So fucking dramatic.
And Triss is like, is it really that bad? And they're like, there's nothing worse than a crowd of hungry mages who don't have to pay for the food. I think that's everybody, though, not just mages, because... Yeah. Oh my god. Free food? Yeah. I'm there. Bam.
True.
I like me some free food.
She'd rather deal with hungry wolves than hungry mages.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm just going to make a comment. At least you're not shitty to people who give you free food.
I have worked several weddings where some of the guests are the fucking worst.
I liked how Nico is protective of his little toes. He does not want people looking at his
Okay, at his feet. Look, I highlighted that too, and I feel that because I don't want people looking at my feet. I don't want people touching my feet. I don't want people thinking about my feet. I just don't. I have the opposite of a foot fetish. I have a foot phobia. Like, they're disgusting.
Nobody's thinking about your feet, though. Like, I mean,
I am now because you brought it up. This is on you. You made me think of your toes. I like that. Keth has lightning magic. That kind of took me for a surprise. I was like, I knew he had magic. I didn't know it was lightning magic. I like Triss being an introvert. She hates parties, and she would rather pull her ears from her head because it would be just as fun than go to a party. She would rather do that than go to a party.
Also same.
Depends on the party.
Hard same.
If it's with friends, nah, I won't pull my ears from my head. But if it's with people that I don't fucking know, I'd rather pull my ears from my head.
I it doesn't matter how much I love you. I will be there for 15 minutes and then I will immediately be trying to figure out how the fuck I'm leaving. I don't like crowds. I don't like people. So yeah, no, I hard same, Triss. Hard same.
Yeah, Steven's always trying to get me to go to, like, Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue with him every year, and I'm like, unless you want me to be so fucking mad because there's so many fucking people, then no. I've only gone with him, like, a couple times. He's like, why did you even come? You're all pissy. Like, you're the one that wanted me to come, and I told you I was going to be pissy because there's a lot of people, and did you listen? No. So here I am, and I'm pissy. Enjoy it.
I like... that Triss, like, goes into the kitchen and just starts helping cook because there are rules in the kitchen and you have to follow those rules. and they make sense. And I feel that few women spend the first weeks of an acquaintance trying to prove how much more they know than you. God, I feel that. Fucking people.
Man, am I right?
Right?
Right.
I really like Nico just being like, I don't know if I ever told you, but I have a credential in.
It lists off all the things.
Nico's just like, glass magic. And then Triss is like, teaching magic, seer's magic, and star magic. Yes, I know. I'm fucking aware.
It's not like you don't tell me every 2 days. God damn, Nico.
And right. Then, like, the talking about the creation, like, with Trine herself, it's like, her skeleton is made of glass magic. I'm also picking up traces of protective magics, wind magics, healing magics, prosperity magics, and love magics. Like, I love that.
She's a jumble of magic, and it's cute.
Oh, so I, like, Malia is Shriek. Mm-hmm. And Brittany recently had another child, and I think there was some discussion about what we were going to name the other child. My suggestion was going to be Chime.
Yep. I think it fits right now.
Scrying the wind is very difficult. It's like scrying the future. You are assailed with thoughts, thousands of images, fragments, really. It drives many who try insane. You learn to scry the future, and a number of people informed me that they think I'm mad. Fucking moot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sentence is so great. And he says it so dryly, too. Like, yeah. Oh, I love Nico so freaking much. Oh, my goodness.
I get told on a daily basis that I'm fucking mad. It's fine. For Rosie, is that her name? Playing chess with Keth. Like, I just like the idea of Keth, who we know is 20, sitting around like an old man playing chess with his landlady.
Maybe this is why I thought he was an old man when I was 14.
Maybe.
He's like an old man.
Only old people play chess. I mean...
I mean, they don't have TV or anything like that. They don't have no TikToks to keep them busy.
Can't go play Fortnite on their PCs.
Yeah, it's play chess or start a gang war. Those are your only options.
I would have started a gang war.
It's
like chess IRL.
The conversation where they're talking about that and they're like, it's not like he broke his back finding out who killed those others. It's like, he is, though.
He's really trying.
He really wants to.
He's like one of the only competent cops we've seen. He's trying to be competent, and it's not. They're not letting him.
Like I said, the police in this book are incompetent for completely different reasons.
And I think this just has to do with the fact that, like, I really like learning about cultures and how they treat their dead. I just think that's fascinating. Their dead were burned outside the city, so there were no burials, only farewell ceremonies.
I love that. I wish that's how we did things. Be less cemeteries. Like, deadland taking up space.
I understand why burial, for religious reasons, is important, but turn me into a tree.
I want to be a tree. Like,
if I die and my biological mother gets a hold of my body and puts me in a casket, y'all motherfuckers better get some fucking shovels.
I am going to get up on the fucking, whenever they're like, oh, if anybody wants to say any kind words, I'll be up there and be like, bitch, this is not what she would have wanted. Get her out of this right now.
She wants to be a tree.
I will commit arson.
She wants to be a motherfucking tree.
I will commit arson at your funeral. Don't worry.
Good.
And he'll bring his cat arson with him.
It's how I want to be remembered.
Triss preferred to stay with her own circle, her foster sisters and brother, their teachers, a handful of mages and students from Winding Circle, and Duke Vedas of Imelon. They not only knew her, they treated her as one of them, someone they loved.
Aww. Oh, so sweet.
Same.
She's such a romantic on the inside. Oh.
She really is. Only to her friends and a select few people, which I totally agree. Everybody else can go fuck themselves. the part where Nico is like, I can't think of the last time I held dragon vomit in my hand. Why, never, in fact.
Dragons aren't even real.
But catching vomit in my hand is just too real, having children. Like, they get sick. And I know with Malia, the first time that she got sick, she was on our bed. And I was like, okay, I went to go catch it. And it doesn't help. It just goes out the sides of your hands. And I don't know why I did it, but I did it. And I'm like, and it went everywhere. So don't do it. It's gross. I wish it would have been glass like this. Nico shooting white fire from his eyes and Triss having to shield her eyes from it. That's like the first time we've seen him actually do that before, which I thought was really cool.
Nico has laser vision.
He has laser vision. It's fucking cool. Which I'm sure, I think he probably wasn't actually shooting fire from his eyes. It was just really strong magic and she can see magic really good. So I think that's probably what it was. I don't think he was actually shooting lasers from his eyes, which would have been really fucking cool too.
That would have been cool.
But like the only magic we've really seen him do is create that illusion with the tree and Briar calling him out on his bullshit for it. But that's besides the point. The dragon toddling over to Triss where it steps down into her lap and then curls itself up like a cat. It's so cute. Oh my goodness. This little dragon is adorable. And then it starts to purr. And that's how it gets its name, is Chime, because it purr sounds like a little chime. And then Yali taking in the orphan girl because she lost her mom. So sweet. Poor baby.
It's interesting to see the community kind of coming together to
help.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
I did not find one. I was trying to think of an actual overarching theme, and I honestly could not think of one. I felt like it was a little all over the place, but maybe that's just me.
I got clarity out of it because Keth gets clarity realizing, oh, Triss was right about his magic. And then maybe, I guess, Triss gets clarity on Keth's magic, kind of. Like, oh, he has lightning magic, potentially, and glass magic. And Nico getting clarity about a dragon. Dragons can be real.
I wrote change for similar reasons. Nico's understanding of the world is changing because he's met Chime. And Triss's life is about to change because she's going to have to teach Keth. We all know this. The only people who don't know this are probably Triss and Keth. Nico may even already know this. Triss may even already know this, but be in denial. Keth's life is changing because he's figured out that he has magic. And then also because he just lost his friends and Glocky and all of that.
Glocky's life is definitely going to change, along with the woman that took her in. Taking on a kid is big change.
Yeah, for sure.
Frustration is what I got. There's a lot of frustration. Triss with Keth, Keth with Triss, the ladies just in general not being, feeling like they haven't gotten any support, anything, and they're frustrated with that. And then frustration of someone else dying, even Nico's frustration with the conference, because he's just like, I don't want to fucking be here right now. They can wait.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
I almost want to ask if you want a serious one.
Give us a serious and a funny.
I will give you the funny one first.
I want the funny.
If you don't know what you're doing, go cook. Just go follow a recipe. It helps. You will know what you're doing because you're following a recipe step by step. I mean, this probably is because I grew up in a southern kitchen. But yeah, no, really. It's ha-ha funny. It's the joke.
I don't think that's funny. Also, I think that makes a lot of sense.
It's funny in comparison to what I'm going to say next.
Oh God. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Aruyam have a word for crimes against people like us, remember? No one worth anything got hurt. Y'all know my feelings on how we treat people and how we should treat people. And I hate that still we have to deal with sex workers being the highest rate serial killer victims because no one gives a shit about sex workers, especially not if they're primarily if they're Black, they give less of a shit. I hate to say it like that, but that's the truth. They're less likely to want to go and solve that case. It's not fair because they're people, and it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter who you are. You are a human being and you deserve the same rights as everybody else, in up to and including a proper investigation if you're murdered. People deserve to be treated with respect. I gave you the funny one first. I should have probably given you that one first and then lightened the mood with cooking.
I wrote to return to conflicts with a clear head. Like said, if I was Keth, I don't think I would have the maturity to look at this situation again and be like, you know what? She said I was a mage. It would explain a lot if I had magic. I guess I should go talk to some more mages and get a teacher and find out what's going on. I would just be like, fuck that crazy girl with her lightning. He is super mature in this situation, and all he does is he just, once he's calm, he goes back through the scene in his head and says, okay, maybe there's something I can learn from this. That's something that I need to do better.
Mine is, he had regrets. Of course he did. He supposed he would always have them. I'm sure all of us have regrets in life. I know I have several, but I don't want to dwell on those regrets because you can constantly think of, well, if I would have done this, this would have happened. Or if I would have done that, this would have happened. If those things would have happened, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Yes, you can have regrets, but don't dwell on those regrets.
That was very, very similar to mine. I think about, like, I can't say that my life's been like super hard. I think back to like the most stressful things that I've been through in my life have mostly been like over relationships or people that I used to know. And sometimes, and I actually dealt with a situation fairly recently with a client's wife. I can't get into details, but she is one of only two people that have ever had an issue with me at work, and she reported that to my boss that she had an issue with me. She didn't bring it up to me at all. I didn't realize there was an issue until my broker called me and told me, hey, this person's really mad and they wanted me to like do something about it. And he said that he wasn't going to do anything about it because he knew who I was and that I'm not the sort of person that this would happen to. And it was true. I didn't do anything to be treated that way. And it really like stung me like pretty hard. I take pride in my work and trying to provide the best service I can to people. But this person could not be pleased and at the end kind of tried to get me in trouble for it. Luckily, nothing bad happened. But I came into a situation where I had to help a family member of her husband. And so I had to meet with her face to face several times during this transaction because she was like helping, giving opinions on things that she doesn't know anything about. But she came and like, I just had to be nice. I had to pretend like I didn't remember what happened. And I kind of felt good about it because I didn't treat her the same way she treated me. The experience that I went through didn't affect me that bad, even though at the time it felt like pretty horrible, but it kind of taught me that some people you can't please. And that just at the same time reminded me of one of my previous relationships where like I felt really shitty at the time about what had happened and the way I'd been treated, but it taught me to become a better person in the end. So I felt like it going through that stuff made me a better person. And I, even though it felt shitty at the time, I'm glad I went through it because it did help me better myself.
At the end of our episodes, we like to have an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 3 of Shatterglass. The front door opened as Little Bear continued to bark. Triss's breezes swirled into the front hall and returned to her with voices. Jamshida's, then Nico's. It's all right, she assured Chine. They belong here. You remember Nico, don't you? Now she was really puzzled. Chine had been admired by total strangers all day and had voiced nothing louder than her musical purr. What had upset her? Red-faced with effort, several of her braids knocked free of their pins, she edged out from under the table. Once in the open air, she sat back on her heels and straightened, holding Chime to her chest with one hand. Oh, no, said a man with a slightly husky, slow, familiar voice. Triss whirled, forgetting that she still knelt, then fell on her side. Chime leaped free, taking flight. As the dragon zipped around the room, Triss glared up at Nico, furious to be caught unkempt and awkward before a stranger. Looking past him, she recognized the newcomer. You! She cried at the same moment as Keflin did. I take it you two have met? Asked Nico mildly. Keflin, Triss, Trissana Chandler, is the lightning mage I told you about. Chime screeched, that same ear-splitting sound of a nail on glass, and flew straight at Keflin. A foot away from him, the dragon spat a flurry of glass needles into her maker's face. Chime, no, cried Triss, bad. Quick as a flash, she had practiced the movements for weeks so she could do this bit of magic in a hurry. She stripped the tie from one thin braid and collected a handful of sparks. She threw them at the dragon, imagining each spark as a tiny ball of thread connected to her fingertips. The balls spun around Chime to form a lightning cage with the dragon suspended inside. Triss reeled in the cage. Only when she held it in her hands did she look at Kef. He'd flinched when the dragon came at him, saving his right eye, but that side of his face and head was peppered with thin blue, red, and green needles. Nico tried to pull one out and cut himself. Serves you right,
Triss informed Keth, scowling at him as she pinned up her loose braids. You did try to kill her. Keth looked from Triss to Nico. Oh, no, he said, voice shaking. Not her. I'm afraid so, replied Nico. She is a lightning mage. You may have noticed, he added dryly. I don't understand, said Triss, but she was afraid she did, all too well. She had tried to find other lightning mages just as she had tried to find other mages who could master the forces of earth or of the sea with little success. It seemed that of all the ambient magics, weather was the most dangerous. It drew its power from all over the world. Mages who tried to do more than call rainstorms or work the winds often misjudged their ability to handle the forces that supplied their power and were crushed. It had been in the back of her mind since Nico had shown her the lightning and chime, and Keth would have trouble finding a teacher who could help with that aspect of his power. Of course you understand, replied Nico. Triss glared at him. Nico knew all too well. Moreover, you will do your duty, Nico added, looking down his nose at her. You accepted that when you donned the medallion for your certification. About to argue or even refuse, Triss made the mistake of looking at Keth. He was the picture of misery, blood dripping from the needles in his flesh, lines of exhaustion bracketing his mouth, dark circles under his eyes. Instead of speaking as she had meant to, she pulled out a chair with one hand. Sit, she ordered Keth. Let's get you cleaned up. Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake at us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Chime is a weird name for an animal, though. I don't think I would have guessed that in a million years.
I wouldn't have either.
But arson. I think it's great. Rose is an arson.
Arson is a cool name, and if I had another pet, I would name it Arson.
Especially if it was a sentient fire. Will.
Yeah.
You should get an orange cat and name it Arson.
I'm really thinking about it. I'm gonna have to write that.
I'd be down for that, actually. That's a nice name.
Just name all my animals after crimes.
Yes, this is murder and arson and theft.
Theft.
B&E.
Burglary. Manslaughter. Perjury.
I like perjury.
I was gonna say you have to spell it with two R's though, so it's perjury.
Oh, that's so cute.
Stop,
oh,
you're committing perjury.
Oh man, I love it. I love it.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's JUVEDERM.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.